Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Season 261, Episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist. It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is also that second-rate podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, November 4th, 2022, which, just letting you know, it's National Candy Day, which seems like a missed opportunity because wouldn't that be like Halloween? Anyway, and National Jersey Friday. I don't know what that means. I hope it has something to... Oh, it means if you... Hey, look, if you like to rock a jersey like I do, look, I got many jerseys back here. You know that already. I guess rock a sports jersey. I'm Miles Gray, a.k.a. excuse me, I have to warm myself up for this a.k.a. I can't just hop into it. Here we go.
Got a lot of ganj, got a lot of sensi on me. I gotta roll this one up. I gotta roll this one up. I gotta burn one down, fade it.
Okay, shout out to Melisande on the Discord who had us with that Beyonce heated thematic, aka. Yes, you're right. I did feel that.
I gotta burn one down, fade it.
It's a new remix. And I am thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host today. You know, this is somebody who's always on the scene because they help make this show. It's none other than super producer Becca Ramos Bramos.
Hello. Welcome, hello. Welcome. That was beautiful, Miles. You know, every time I'm on, it's very last minute, so I don't have AKs prepared. But I will say I very recently went through every song of Beyonce's Renaissance through the lyrics with my girls. We probably like maybe every other week just have a listening party of Renaissance specifically. So this time though, we got the official record. You know, she bought the merch and we went through. It has a beautiful art board, you know, lots of, you know, every lyric page has like art that we've never seen before that's exclusive to the record. But learned a lot of things that I didn't realize were being said.
Oh, really? What was the most surprise? What was like the one lyric that you were like, oh,
I feel like just in general, the songs were a lot dirtier than I realized. You know, kind of hear them. I've like consciously and unconsciously listened to this album a million times and just like vibes. But when you're really listening to lyrics, you're like, okay, Beyonce.
You're like, ow.
She's getting down.
Yeah. Getting dirty. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And without further ado, I mean, we have to introduce our guest today. You might know her from, I don't know, CNBC when she's a national television host, amongst other places. Maybe you read some of her advice from the advice columns that she's done. Maybe you read some of her book. Maybe you know her as the media entrepreneur that all of us try to aspire to be. Or Maybe you heard about her fantastic new memoir that just dropped called Why Didn't You Tell Me? Please welcome Carmen Rita Wong!
Woo! Listen, Carmen. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Miles and Becca, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do
Good
this.
Good to have you. Good to have you, Carmen.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where are you coming to us from?
NYC, Manhattan.
Okay. Yeah.
Downtown.
How's the weather in New York right now?
Oh, you know.
Honestly, beautiful.
Usual.
Really?
It's weirdly warmish. It's weirdly warmish. And I don't like it because I want to wear my coats.
Truly kind of like, you're like, oh, global warming is coming because it's not supposed to be this warm in November.
No, it's not. And I'm really getting frustrated because I'm like, I need my coats. I want to wear my coat. Like, that's the whole thing about living in a place that has all the, you know, the seasons. you have wardrobes for every season. And I'm like, oh.
I say this a lot. Being in LA, we have none. So when there's a coat opportunity, I'm fucking there.
You mean when it's 65 degrees?
Yes, you know.
You break
so
out the coat.
LA.
That's
yeah,
LA.
Absolutely.
Oh, I know LA. Oh, I know.
65. What are you talking about? I'm not trying to get frostbite.
Freezing.
When it goes below 70. When it's below 70, the bubble goose comes out.
I know.
North Face on. Tim's on. Okay?
I know.
Not everybody. The
Tim's. Yeah, the Tim's. For real. The Tim's.
They're like, what is wrong with this dude? But you also look at like the weather too. In like DC, it's like in the mid 70s. Like last night I was talking, they're like, it's like 72 right now.
No, this is not right. This is not right. It's November. This is wrong.
Hey.
Yeah.
I guess that's what happens. But yeah, I like I said.
Let's not think about it too
LA
much
I know. The more I look at it, like LA is like, you know, raining and my power went out. It was like raining so hard where I live.
Wait,
I was like,
what
the fuck is going on? Yeah, like yesterday. And I was always thinking, I'm like, what if, man, global warming just turned like LA into the new like London and it was just all like gray and rainy and shit. And I was like, man, that would be wild.
It'd be Portland.
Hey, yeah. Fuck it. I'll wear a jacket. I don't give a shit. You know? What it is, what it is.
I need the sun,
Carmen,
man. Yes,
thank
yes,
you so much
Miles,
for joining
sir.
Us. Fantastic to have you. Been going through your book; it's amazing, and I think
thank you.
Before we will talk about it, but I think it's just such a like great depiction of like the American experience and just navigating that as well as like mother daughter relationships and things like that. So it's got fucking something for everybody. And
it,
like
it does.
I was telling you before, it's a page turner. I thought I was like
such
like
a
watching
turner.
An episode of Lost or something. I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Oh my gosh, it's the biggest compliment. I love it. Yeah. Let me keep you up at night with that. Yeah,
right. Like, who is her father? And what is happening? What what is
keep
going
reading.
To happen?
Keep
yes,
reading.
Absolutely. But before we get into all that, I want to tell everybody what we're going to talk about today. First, we're just going to go after the GOP's, I guess, new priority after they take power. When they take power, they say they're going after woke capitalism and woke companies. We'll try and determine what that means because it's a little bit all over the place. And just generally, you know, a lot of how, you know, a lot of the anger and hyper-partisanship we're experiencing has been a long-running theme in the country. But you know, just looking at, especially after Obama was elected, like really kicked off a new wave of like anxiety in white Americans and the status quo that we seem to still be having to reckon with. And then we're going to talk about how a teenager made a fucked up doodle for a new I voted sticker. And it's maybe going to save democracy. Take that with a grain of salt. But I will say, It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. We'll get into that.
I feel
that.
Like you missed the pun, Miles, to say it's maybe going to stick.
Oh, shit. That's good. Okay,
shoot.
You know what?
That's
okay. Justin, edit that out and then let me take that again. For sure. Thank you. Thank you for catching me. Sometimes I am lacking, but please do that in the chat. And not embarrass me in front of the guests.
Oh, please. I didn't think about it either. Don't worry
about
it.
No. We're playing. But Carmen, first, before we get into any of that, we have to ask you, our esteemed guest, what is something from your search history that is a little revealing about who you are or what you're into right now?
Okay. What I'm into is, you know, it's Native American History Month, right? And just coincidentally, I listened this morning to an interview with Ramona Emerson. So I Googled her and she has a book called Shutter, as in like a camera shutter. And she's a member of the Navajo Nation, Diné, and she's a forensic photographer. So, you know, crime scenes and all that stuff. So it started as a memoir and she turned it into a ghost thriller. So that was great. But I'll tell you what I did right before, literally in the seconds before I got on with you guys. I had the very unfortunate experience of having to fact check something that I saw on Twitter that broke my heart and got me angry. It has to what do with that? Rihanna.
Oh,
and
who
she's
Depp?
Having. I can't even say it.
I said, I can't even say it.
Is it true
way,
or not?
Riri.
Because I did not. I Google.
Yes, I did. And you know, I went and I had to Google right away because let me tell you something. Riri, you know, my friends, she's my wife. That's my wife right there. And no longer. We are now officially divorced and estranged. No. I want my girl back who said, I'm not doing the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
I know.
We should have known that was my girl. She was going to do the Super Bowl, that it was just downhill from there.
I did. I saw that. I was disappointed with that.
And it's Rock Nation. It's Rock Nation. You know what I mean? If she wasn't with Rock Nation and Jay-Z's like proximity, but I feel like if you're with Jay and he's so close to the NFL, like he could probably frame it to you, be like, no, you know, they're doing stuff is different, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they let Cap rot for years.
Yeah.
And yeah, it.
So yes,
it does
that
feel,
was what I just like right before we got on because I just could not believe it.
For those who
I'm
aren't
so
aware, it was it's like reported that Rihanna is gonna have Johnny Depp like at the Fenty fashion show, right?
Oh God!
Like as part
such
of
such a confusing
show?
Choice. Like for what? I have no idea. Like
it's like the rehabilitation tour, but you know, of all the people, Rihanna.
Look at her
history with DV, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why? Like, so, you know, I didn't even want to talk about it, frankly, Miles.
I didn't.
Well, know what it is the fans, the people or the mob or whatever is just horrifying to me. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, why turn that on yourself? Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's my Riri. I'm really sad. She's gone.
Hey, I'm holding out for it to be a Game of Thrones type, like, twisted revenge thing she's doing. She's like, yeah, come to my fashion show.
Like a Carrie moment?
Nah. See, my thing is like, don't even. You know what the best revenge is? You're gone. Yeah. You're gone. Yeah. That's the best revenge. Like, you're gone. Don't even think about you.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, I'm
disappointed.
I don't know him.
I'm Dominican mom disappointed. Dominican mom disappointed.
Oh, oof. That just gave me
chills.
That's
a bad one. Mm-hmm, as it should.
What is something that you think is overrated?
Let's get serious for a second. Forgiveness. Mm. It's overrated. We're talking about that. Let me talk about it for a second, okay? Here's what I'm saying. People are pressured. We're pressured. We feel pressure to forgive, right?
Sure.
Give. It's got the word given it. It's not going to happen unless you apologize for real. Not I'm sorry, but not I'm sorry if. But really acknowledge it and change your behavior. If it doesn't happen, then it's not going to happen. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You can find peace without forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You can. Sure. Absolutely. But I do think it's really overrated.
Right. Because that's someone that is committed the transgression is seeking forgiveness.
Exactly.
I am seeking
right. And this is the person. Yeah. This is the person that's like done the damage to you. And now you have to do something for them. Well, in that case. And of course, I'm being, you know, as I'm being interviewed about the book a lot, this comes up a lot. And people are like, oh, my God, when I say, no, don't you forgive your mom? And I'm like, no. And everyone's like, oh,
well,
you know, and it's like
a
horror. Give me a break.
People might not understand, like, just sort of know broadly what your book is about in that. Like, you know, your mother passed away around 18, 19 years ago, right?
Yes. Yes.
And from then you've had this sort of ongoing sort of family history mystery that you've been trying to deal with. And throughout this whole process, you've realized there have just been, like, as your book says, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Now, listen, my thing was I was looking to understand her as a person.
Sure.
And but when you grow up, you know, you're the first person, people you're supposed to trust are your parents, right?
Right.
And you're supposed to be able to trust that at least some of the big truths in your life, you know, like where you came from. How about that?
Sure.
But then also to compound it, as she was dying and I found out that, you know, my father wasn't my father, she told me another story about another guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I find out later that that's not true either. It like hot mess, mama, hot mess. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, how do I understand and find peace?
Sure.
But people really are just like, they throw around this word forgive. And I'm like, forgiveness is earned, man.
Yeah.
It's earned. You have to earn it from me and from anybody. And I think that if you really got to have that self-respect, because someone hurts you, why are you giving them more?
Mm.
Unless they've changed their behavior and they absolutely apologize, acknowledging your pain, right? You accidentally bump into somebody in the elevator or walking away, you stop and it's hard, right? And you stop and you go, oh my God, are you okay? I'm so sorry.
Oh, my bad.
Are you
yeah.
okay?
Yeah,
right?
Sorry.
But you're sorry and you say, are you okay? Like you make sure the person's okay. What can you do to make them feel better? Let's go sit down. Let's check it out, blah, blah, blah. Someone cannot do that to you. Then forgiveness is not theirs, but you can still find peace because guess what?
Yeah.
They're just people.
Right.
And just like my, you know, my mother and my father's and their decisions and choices they made, it's so helpful to just see them as like random, like people who had babies. Because if you really think about people that
way,
even if it's like an ex or like someone you had a relationship, someone really hurt you, a friend or something. If you just think of them as like people who do things, it helps you really to kind
of
detach it from you and not take it so personally and be like, no, they did it because of their shit.
Yeah.
Right.
They're people who are traumatized and you cannot let that affect you. You know,
right.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it hurts, but
it hurts.
But it helps to understand and have empathy for them, especially, you know, for a lot of us, our parents, you know, if you're immigrant parents or other kind, they come through, you know, trauma.
Yeah, go through a lot.
Really bad
for
stuff.
Sure.
And so you once you see that, I mean, you know, you just want to stop that cycle. And you can't do that unless you let go of the anger.
Yeah, and so many parents who have been through really terrible shit, like in their pursuit of trying to break certain cycles for their kids, you know, so much shit gets fucked up there, too.
Achievement,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Achievement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing
Absolutely.
Is that they try to stop one thing from the generation to generation. They try to stop poverty or whatever. And then they focus on achievement, but then they torture you in other ways
right.
and create another mess. So, you know, generation to generation, we're just trying to clean it up. But part of what helps cleaning it up is figuring out why they did what they did.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think what's overrated is the concept of what forgiveness means for another person. But I think what the most potent form of forgiveness, I think, is the kind you direct towards yourself.
Yes.
You know, because I think a lot of people don't understand that we, a lot of us look at our own behavior and say, why the fuck, how could you be so stupid?
Oh, yes.
Again.
Yes. Yes.
Damn. Why do you keep letting this shit happen? Or I can't believe you fucking said whatever, but whatever that is. You have to realize all that anger, whatever that chaos is actually you not extending a sense of forgiveness to yourself.
Yes.
And how potent that version is of put your hand on your own heart and say, yo, you're a human. You know, you're making mistakes, but you like work through that. And I think that's a dimension of forgiveness I've slept on personally, is like the idea of so many times I get angsty or anxious about things that like I'm like, oh, man, that was stupid. Like I could have done. I wish I'm better at something. Got to say, hey, man. Good, like Joe, chill. Forgive
yourself.
Yeah,
no, as my therapist says, be kind to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be kind to yourself. Yes.
Give that same pep talk that you'd give the homie when they come to you with their problems to yourself, because it's clear that you're able to
treat ourselves nice, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
What's something that you think is underrated, Carmen?
You know, I thought about this question, Miles. Look at me.
Okay.
I'm a brown woman.
All right.
I'm a brown woman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What's underrated? Me.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
What's me? Okay. My whole life. Me.
Yeah.
My whole freaking life. And I'll say all other black and brown women, underrated, underappreciated, underthought of, under everything. Because I tell you, even just yesterday, I was in the Apple store and this young man, I go up to him and I'm like, oh, I need a new phone, blah, blah, blah. Black screen of death, blah, blah, blah. And this man, he just treated me so dismissive. So dismissive until he's like, well, why don't you just look up your receipts from the store to see when's the last time you bought a book. And I scroll in and I'm scrolling receipts. And this brother goes, oh, I didn't realize that like you bought so much here. Like, you know, just stupid shit. Because of course I'm not the color and the type and this and that. And the other thing happens constantly. It's that thing of where, Becca, you know, you walk out the door in your skin, in your race and in your gender and how you appear. And that hits you in the face.
Absolutely.
Right? In many, many spaces. And so I think we still do underrate our women of color, Black and brown women, for real. Happens on the daily. And there's also, of course, there's an urge to squash it. Because as you know, Becca, we are so good. We are so good.
Well, right now, the biggest transgression I've been seeing that's been irking me so crazy is that, like, the internet's trying to make Hailey Bieber an it girl. I've been annoyed since day one. She's literally just a nepotism baby with no talent. And Bieber stans come for me. But she has been doing this, like, brown lip gloss combo.
I was just going to say, you mean the chola face she's doing?
And it's like, the clean look? So all of us have been wearing real gold. And I, you know, I'm sure the it girlies on the internet, a lot of it's not. It's like, these are gold that's passed down. All my gold's passed down. And the makeup that we wear, the clean look, is because we couldn't afford a lot of makeup, or makeup didn't come in our colors that we couldn't get foundation.
Exactly.
So we're buying brown lip or eyeliner to use as lip liner to make a lip gloss because they don't have anything in our shades. So I'm just like, ugh, whatever, this brown, like, new look for fall. I'm like, no, this is something my mom has worn iconically for years. Like, I just get it.
And that's the thing, is that we get these, we're simultaneously underrated and stolen from.
Yes.
Because we produce the good shit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's that simul, no, we want what you got, but you know, you stay over here.
Yeah.
We also think...
But
crap,
don't come into a doctor's office saying that you got pain,
because
I'm not going to hear that shit.
Let me tell you, I've had to search for doctors. Like, the dismissiveness that they give you when you walk in the office when you're a brown woman is just, it actually causes death.
Yeah.
Right?
No. 100%.
It kills women. So that we are underrated. Look, I gave you something like so serious. Meanwhile, Becca, what's underrated? What's underrated? The brown lip. I got I got a little bit of it going on myself.
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Let's make it peppy, Miles. Give me another question.
Man, I just went through this with a family member, you know, like, just terrible medical care. And it really made me think, I'm like, is there like a top 40 for doctors? Like, because there's, you see so many things and there's reviews, right? You could be like, oh, this doctor has good reviews. But and there are good doctors. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, where's the... What's like the Michelin guide? So, you know, I'm like, no, these motherfuckers won't dismiss you. Like, if you're saying something's wrong, because I mean, I'm not trying to paint the entire medical industry with one brush.
Yeah.
I know people myself who are very dedicated to what they do. But I know there are also so many people who slip through the cracks that it's like half the time I feel like I'll pick just a doctor because who's closest. And then end up
and
going to
your
another doctor, and they'd be
does
like,
"Does your insurance cover?"
Exactly,
that's the thing, and that's why people like have to go to certain doctors, you know.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, how come he didn't get all this blood work and blah 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 done?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm not a fucking doctor. I just went to this motherfucker, and they said it was all good." Well, you're saying what now? Like,
well,
that's
listen. Yeah. I've been in the doctor's office. My daughter's long COVID, so we have many doctors, and sometimes, you know, she's a sassafras like her mama. And sometimes we'll leave and she'll be like, that guy was an asshole, or that woman, did you see the way she didn't talk to me? She didn't look at me. She just looked at you like I'm not a person, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I say, B, here's what you got to understand. Just like I just said about the forgiveness thing, doctors are just people.
Yeah.
They're just people. They're not like some magical demigod. They're just human beings. They can be just as racist, just as stupid, just as biased, just as tired, just as hungry, just, you know, all of those things, not to excuse their behavior, but like, where is it coming from? Is it willful bias and ignorance, or is it like they're really, really rushed? And maybe you still don't want to see them anyway.
Yeah. Or the momentum of the whatever the status quo is within a given profession, too. You know, like every industry has this like decades old momentum of terrible habits and shit that can't be broke. But
yeah.
Anyway. All that to say, let us know, what's the Michelin guide for doctors?
I don't want to plug anybody, but you know, when you Google when you Google doctors' names, it does, you'll see a rating come up, and or ZocDoc also has ratings from a lot of the doctors.
Yeah, ZocDoc does have ratings. But then I think because of Yelp, I'm like, see, I don't know what this person been through.
Word
and
of
how
mouth.
They were looking
Word of mouth. That's why, I have found almost all of my daughter's specialists and my doctors through word of mouth.
Yeah.
That's
like, the same thing. I'm like, you like your doctor?
The second someone says that, I'm like, okay, what are they like? Where are they at? Where are they at? What do they do? Yeah. Can I get
to
an appointment?
All my girls here in New York, I gave them a rundown because it took me 2 years to find all my doctors. I went through trial and error. I've also had I've talked about it on this podcast. I've talked about it on Ethnically Ambiguous. I've definitely had the run of the gamut of bad doctors.
Oh, yeah.
I have a really great
selection here now. And I like sent it to all my girls who moved to New York. I was like, these are my doctors. If they're covered by your insurance, go to these people because they respect me. So,
Becca, you have performed a very important service.
Yes.
That is an incredible, you've saved them hours and months and years of pain. So yeah. Bravo, girl. Bravo.
They're like, hey, I want to get Becca's list. Like, how much?
Yeah,
how
what's much Becca's list?
What's her list? Wow. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about governance after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And let's talk a little bit. You know, the midterms are coming up. The GOP is, and a lot of the news is like, man, red wave. I don't know, maybe. But also the polling looks all skewed. But also the returns seem like the voter turnout is fucking sky high. So everyone is kind of like, what narrative is the one that resembles the actual reality closely? Not sure yet. But what we do know is what comes out of the mouths of the Republicans. And like ever since 2020, the rhetoric from this group has just been like some fucked up promotion for like a revenge tour, like, you know, striking back at those that refuse to allow an election to be overturned or those that half enforced the law and let us kind of get away with it. Oh, we got something for y'all. That's like the energy. None of their talking points are ever solutions to actual problems. It's just like, man, and that's a problem, huh? Inflation? What's your plan? It's bad. Huh? That's okay. That's not going to help people who are living check to check. You can't just be angry at it. If you're saying vote for me so I have a position to make decisions, then maybe give them some idea of what's, you know, what the solution is there. Anyway, right now they're making a lot of noise about how, you know, when we get back into power, the woke companies, oh, they're fucked. And what does that even mean? So, like, companies that are acknowledging that climate change is going to kill us. So they're doing the literal bare minimum to act like it's an issue. So they said in the Senate, this is from the Washington Post, like the title of the article, something about like the GOP goes after cancerous like climate investments. It says senators are pushing legislation to punish businesses that prioritize environmental, social and governance causes, also known as ESG, rather than pure profits. Okay, that's saying like, oh, hey, we're going to go dark on election day so people can vote. They're like, oh, so you all woke now? Hey, we're going to invest in this like technology that will help the planet. Oh, so you're fucking woke now? And they said that this already seems to already create a bit of a chilling effect on Wall Street. And because some CEOs are now scrambling to, quote, emphasize that their firms are still investing in fossil fuels to be like, you see, we haven't crossed the Rubicon. Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky goes even further. He said, quote, my view is that ESG investing is a cancer within our capital markets. It is a fraud on American investors. Carmen, you have a bit of a finance background.
Oh, 20 years.
Yeah. When you hear a statement like that, that ESG investing is a cancer within our capital markets, a fraud on American investors, like, it's cancerous to invest in like equity and environmental stability?
Miles, I also have a master's in psychology. This is projection. This Go is complete off. And utter projection. Yeah. Anything they say is what they're doing and who they are. They are the cancer, right? Yeah. This is all about their real thing that they really, really, really want. It has actually pretty much nothing to do with really going after these companies. It's about creating a story and a language and a sense of rage, right? Which is what they feed off of, which is where they get their votes from, right? And fear, and strike some fear in businesses to get, you know, to lean off of the whole, you know, getting off of fossil fuels. Because in the end, you know, that's what their leaders, the Republican leaders, they're tied to that. They're tied to all of that. So they want their profits. So that's, they put out a message. Let me tell you, if there's one thing that, you know, the Reds can do, it is messaging.
Oh yeah, because they go in wrong and strong.
And you know what, it's easier to be wrong and strong.
Absolutely.
That's just the bottom line. And it's easier to appeal to lizard brain. Always easier. Lizard brain is just easy peasy, but it's much harder to, you know, really lead with the actual thing, the actual stuff, because it's just not angry. It's not fear. It's not anger. It's progress. Sure. And this country, you know, it's got a problem with progress.
Absolutely. And I mean, this quote, I feel like truly it's like the embodiment of what is wrong with our society, right? The idea that maximum profit is like the moral pursuit, even if it exacerbates poverty and earth death.
I mean, look, like, did you see somebody snuck out a video of, I can't remember what candidate it was or what senator it was, saying that the actual goal is to completely get rid of Social Security.
Yeah.
Now, so talk Medicare, about maximizing profit. So what do you want people, older people and poor people to do? Die? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the end of
they
the
got
day.
To.
Because their belief system, their value system is completely based on animalistic things like survival of the fittest, which is not what real societies and civilizations can live off of.
No.
We can't, right? Because if you're a society, you have an obligation to help people in that society, right? That's society. And that means that we're smart human beings. But if you want to go back to, you know, living in the plains, the desert plains, then, and all this talk about alpha stuff and all this survival of the fittest, it's that whole belief of if you are poor, if you are disabled, if you can't get ahead, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. And you will succumb to whatever, you know.
And but by the way, until, because I have a section of my family who grew up in New Hampshire, who, you know, went a different way, and they'll be, you know, they'll use disability. But they'll just rant against it.
Yeah.
Rant against all these things until they need it. And if you dig, you'll see that that's the case. So, for example, how they all came out and said, student loan debt, how dare you forgive that? Yeah. And meanwhile, all these guys talking that had all of their loans from the pandemic loans forgiven.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not about that. It's just, oh, man.
Right.
Guys, it's so lizard.
Yeah, 100%. And It's just also funny, too, because it even goes against like their free market ideology, too. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What about letting the markets decide, fam? I thought that was your whole thing, too. And if they're saying, I don't know, consumers seem to not really fuck with killing the planet. And they're like, that's the, what the market is telling us. They like this shit. We're selling it. We're making money. What the fuck is this? But again, it's all because it's all in service of this like theocracy where, you know, white cishet Christians are like at the top of the fucking ladder, because that seems to, that's sort of what has been powering them for the longest time, you know?
Right. Like, and if they keep it up, well, we won't catch up. That's what they don't want us to catch up. They don't want you to catch up.
And I think, you know, it's like the only, like when they, like the fraud on American investors, it's the only fraud here is like the constant like self-victimization that
absolutely
like, the conservatives preach. You know, society is clearly moving in the opposite direction of these right-wing extremists. And that's why they have to go all in on like election denial and voter suppression, because their message of like hatred and climate change denial just doesn't resonate. You know, and the fact that companies are donating to candidates that aren't espousing the same rhetoric also pisses them off, too, because they're like, well, then fuck it, man. We'll find a way to fucking destabilize your business, too, because just get in line. This is the one party or whatever. And this is the one way of thinking. And it's just wild. Like you're stretching big time when you're like, when you identify like JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs as like these woke capitalist companies, like, come on now.
No, this is crazy. Let me bring it back. I'm going to bring it back to the book. Then here's how. Anybody who's grown up with narcissistic parents knows how this all goes and knows what this is all about. You've heard it, you've seen it, you've lived with it, and you grew up with it. So it's easy to see what they're doing, the victimization. No, it's not. It's me. Oh, you're hurting me. You're doing this. Da, da, da. It's all of that. The projection, the victimization. It's all psychological tactics that are unfortunately working to keep us down, because not even nationwide, globally, we're seeing this, right? We're seeing how scary the Brazil election was.
Oh,
we're seeing Israel. We're seeing all these really hard right because the population of the world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is turning into us. Look at us. People, if you could see us right now.
It's a brown future.
Let me tell you, we got brown, we got Asian, we got black, we got Latino, we got everything. All of it right here. And that is what they're terrified of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of like this denial about like this myth that I think like the old school white American tells themselves about this like idea of American exceptionalism and completely having to ignore, like they don't want to confront that central myth, you know, especially that like that most people talk about, that the land that their country sits on was violently colonized and then built with slave labor, but not because they were innovators and benevolent explorers. This is off of brute force and violence
and smallpox.
And then it's like kicking back and being like, yeah, wow, this place is fantastic. And I think there's this moment, like, I just want to touch on, like, the kind of backlash that I think we're seeing really, like, form in a really specific way since, you know, like, Obama was elected. And, you know, I think far too many people thought, hooray, racism is over, even though we never had a reckoning with that other stuff I just talked about, like genocide and slavery. But we're totally good now. Totally good now. Everything's all good. But then that also set off the Tea Party and birther nonsense. And now we're kind of here. And there's just in your book, I just want to talk about your book really quick. Or I mean, this is the reason I bring this up is that like America, right, has this issue with seeing people who are not the status quo begin to experience any level of equity or success. And or if there's even pride, God forbid, in who you are, and that's not conforming to the status quo of cishet Christian whiteness, then guess what? They're probably going to come for you because, oh, you're too proud to be gay. You're too proud to be black. You're too proud to be Dominican, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There'll always be some like, well, why can't we be proud of being what? Like, you know, there's always that weird, freaky counter argument that you see. And like in your book, there's this one moment that really stuck out to me is when your mother, who's Dominican, like Afro-Latina, she was inspired by Rita Moreno, seeing Rita Moreno on The Electric Company, and she had her hair in an afro and she was like, oh, I like that. Got her hair done. And then when she came home, your stepfather did not like what he saw. And she had to very quickly
make herself small to appease yes. the status quo, so to speak.
Well, to appease her white new husband.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. That part of the book hurt.
It hurt a lot of people. It's come up a lot because it really just shows just how tough that whole idea of, you know, quote unquote, assimilation was. So yeah. we moved from Harlem to New Hampshire to give people some background. I went from Dominican Chinese from Chinatown in Harlem to the whiteness, Wilds whiteness of New Hampshire and a new white stepfather. And the Spanish, no Spanish in the house, no Spanish food, yeah. no Dominican food, no Chinese, no nothing. And it just turned into whiteness. And my mother tried to rebel a little bit and tried to be proud of herself because she was a very funky, fun, well-dressed, of course, Dominicana in New York. And she did that hairstyle and the pride in her face when she walked in the door. I lit up. And then within 2 seconds, I went, oh, shit. Because I knew what was coming.
Right.
And when my stepfather came home and he saw, he called her upstairs and she came down a bit later, her face a little puffy and she had a scarf on her head. And we didn't see her head again until that hair grew out and she could pull it back in a ponytail and straighten it again. And that base message was to her was, how dare you be yourself? How dare you be proud of your hair and your heritage and all of that? And the message to me was, is that if you want to be in this America, you need to look like us and be like us, or we're going to make you, or you can't be here.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it was bad to be me. So it was very much that sad message. But I'll tell you, in terms of not letting us succeed and being proud, I got that message when I was a little kid in Catholic school there in New Hampshire. The nuns hated that I was smart. Hated it. They would knock points off shit.
Right.
Oh, they hated it. It infuriated them. And I like kind of lapped it up as like a little kid being like, ha ha ha. Their expectations of me were so low. And then I was like this like crazy straight A student and they like chalked it up to the Chinese side or some shit. But they it drove them crazy and they wouldn't let me join the National Honor Society. They wouldn't let me do lots of things, which affected my life. And if you can imagine, this happens all the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
All the time.
I think that's why just like the book can resonate with so many experiences, right? Because just even from that moment, I think a lot of people have felt, man, but people are going to laugh at my lunch because it smells funny. Because I eat ethnic food, like I'm not eating fucking Lunchables and shit.
Right.
Or, you know, like I don't want to bring chopsticks to eat my lunch at school because I'm be like, what's, oh, wow, you eat
oh, they'd be like, it's whatever. Weird. That's weird.
Yeah. You know, and like, like, and that, like, that's like, those are the subtle ways that you grow up, like, having to check your, like, sort of immigrantness or non, like, mainstream white Americanness, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's also a really interesting perspective that kind of shows just how, like, this, like, violent enforcement of the, like, white status quo, like, affects us in so many different ways. You know, like, you're talking about achievement, right? So many, like my mom's an immigrant from Japan. My dad's black. They're like, man, you got to go to fucking college. It's the fucking only fucking
There's
way.
No choice.
You
no
have
choice.
To fucking None. Go. Are you out your fucking mind? You will go to college. You will get a degree. You will then have to get a good job so you can enter the middle class so you can survive this shit. And like, it was like told to me, like, they're like, listen to me.
Oh, you know, no choice.
And in a way, like I had that hammered into my head and I'm glad I did go to, I learned a lot from my time pursuing my education and things like that, but it definitely put a damper on my own belief that I could pursue like creative interests too.
Absolutely.
Ooh, you know, look at me. I ended up doing completely,
finance.
You know, all I wanted to be was a writer. Like that's all I ever wanted to be. And it took me to, you know, decades to get back to it after going, doing all this other stuff, because in our house, we were not allowed. You had to be a doctor, a lawyer, an MBA. Period.
Because survival is step one. It's not, oh, don't worry about survival, baby. We're good. Like, that's a very specific kind of person where survival isn't the absolute step one to living. First, survive.
Absolutely. Yes.
First, survive this shit. Yep. Then, if you got time, all right, fuck around that other stuff. But step one is fucking survive, because don't get it fucked up. This place is really difficult for people who look like us.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just knowing that, just sort of the imbalance of all that, right? And we're in a situation now.
tired. we're merely saying we want to live in a world. We want to live in a world where I don't have to look at my kid or something and say, you know what, like you gotta worry about X, Y, and Z because this is everything is stacked against you, et cetera, et cetera. There's no such thing as equity. You got to fight for everything because unfortunately that's the case. But that is completely then spun by people on the right as like an attack, right? Because our equality looks like their fucking nightmare. I just want to play this one ad that's playing in Georgia because I think it perfectly sums up how conservatives are thinking, especially in this moment. This is a real ad playing in Georgia right now asking about like, why is it okay for there to be racism against white people?
When did racism against white people become okay? Joe Biden put white people last in line for COVID relief funds. Kamala Harris said disaster aid should go to non-white citizens first. Liberal politicians block access to medicine based on skin color. Progressive corporations, airlines, universities, all openly discriminate against white Americans. Racism is always wrong. The left's anti-white bigotry must stop. We are all entitled to equal treatment under law. America First Legal paid for this ad.
Oh, no.
So all those quotes, half of them came from Daily Wire. Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
wow. They want to be discriminated so bad.
Well, again, it serves them, right? This language, it serves them. And it doesn't acknowledge the disparity at all because it says we're equal treatment. It's not, they know that things aren't equal.
Yeah.
They know there's no equity. They know. And this is what really drives me crazy. When people talk like this, they know deep down.
They know how bad it is.
Yeah. They know, but they're choosing to focus on the language and focus on twisting the language to suit what they want to do. But it's propaganda. It's just total psychological, what do you call it? Psyops. Psyops.
Just to say, what about us? Because the whole thing is just kind of like, really what the subtext of this is, it's white people were about to be like we did the other people. That's the subtext.
They are scared
and they know of that,
that
because you have to know how bad non-white people have it to be able to connect that pain and fear to this kind of ad. Because most white people be like, what? I don't know. In my majority white area, my job is like, it's been one
way. I'm fine. Yeah,
oh, shit. Right. AOC, she's all outspoken and shit.
God.
Oh, my God. I don't want to get dunked on by her. She was a bartender, which is like the same shit.
And you know, I got to tell you, man, even within the community, I hear it from sometimes I'm talking, you know, in the community, my Latinos and the men, too, are very man about people like AOC.
Yeah, I mean,
even if they're left, it's like they really dismiss her. I've gotten to like arguments. They really dismiss her because she's a woman.
It's the machismo.
It drives me bonkers, man. Bonkers.
If it's not racism, it's machismo in our community. It's like, it's...
And hence why Latinos, in you know, voting in Florida, look at where it's going. You've got to be kidding me, man. Kidding me. Because we want to be so much a part of the ruling class, right? We want to be accepted so bad.
And you see that too with like so many like people that the right co-ops, like black and brown bodies, that they're like, look at this one. And you can also see like, anybody too, like I think any marginalized person who's been like, damn, man, like the fuck, man, being white, it looks easier. Or like, I would get less shit if I was white. Like that can stay with people throughout their entire lives to the point that next thing you know, they're on Ben Shapiro's show talking about how, you know, the reason why, look, I'm black and I'm telling you, the problem is fathers aren't just around. It's not mass incarceration or anything like that. And
okay,
these
Bill.
Other, like,
okay, yeah, Bill. And,
right.
Yeah.
Seriously. But like, that's really, you can kind of, you just see how like, there's also this
ego. Yeah.
How that all that like internalized white supremacy too feels like, well, shit, I might be safer if I'm team these people. Too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that's, you know, the insidiousness of that too. And you're like, damn.
There's a really good book about it for Latinos specifically. It's called The Hispanic Republican by Geraldo Cadava. And it's the byline is the shaping of American political identity from Nixon to Trump. So highly recommend it for a read if you want to unpack like kind of like the white Cuban Latino of Florida.
Oh,
a lot of the internalized racism our community has when it comes to like voting. I know my father personally, he was never a Republican, but he definitely dealt with his own internalized racism and truly like head in the sand. You know, if I don't, you know, say anything, I don't have to worry. Like, how do I just assimilate and be the Latino man that they need me to be
safe,
and not buck the system? It took Trump getting elected for my dad to really care and realize, oh shit, this affects me. You know, for so long he was like, you know, like, I don't say nothing. I don't do nothing. I do what I need to do. I speak English. I refuse to speak Spanish. Like, I yell at anybody who tries to speak to me in Spanish. I like my white Americana things. I eat meatloaf, and that's who I am.
Oh, my God, meatloaf. You said meatloaf.
Yeah. And
traumatized by meatloaf,
and then
girl.
It took Trump getting elected for him to become, like, a prouder Latino in our home. Like, it really did. It was crazy.
Yeah. If my mother were around, it would be the same thing. But it would be the same thing, because she ended up evangelical in the end.
Yeah.
And she, you know, even though she's the one who taught me how to see propaganda when I was a little kid, because, you know, her family fled, right? A dictatorship and all of that stuff. But once she was here, it was all just assimilate. And then she became super, super conservative. And it was just horrible to see. But it was all this kind of like fleeing towards some sense of safety.
Yeah.
Like, if I go with them, I'll be okay. Like, you know, but if I'm against them, then I'm a target.
Yes.
And it's just so sad. It's very sad.
And as a binary, like, and if you don't have the self-belief or feeling that you could even be safe in your community, as a binary, you might be like, well, that's at least safe. Because I know if I'm out here proud of who I am, I'm a fucking target sometimes.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the time.
For sure.
Yeah, it's just that's what America do to you.
Well, yeah, and if your own community doesn't even accept you either, because like when I was a kid with the New Hampshire thing, and then all of a sudden I'm taking French, and you know my Spanish is going away, and I'm dressing different, all this stuff, and I come home to the city, and oh, you talk white, like you look so white, you this, you that, and my own community rejected me.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're getting it from both sides. So you can see these other generations are kind of like, well, these guys want me. Like, you don't want me because now I'm too gringa. I'm too American for you.
Yeah.
Our own communities have to deal with our own stuff too.
Yeah.
Not besides, but as well, because it's so important to band together, man. You know,
the group of people who call me Jackie Chan the most were like my black friends.
Yeah.
For like cousins too. And that's just how
first
it, you know
of
what I mean?
All,
like,
he's Chinese. Hello.
Yeah, well, yeah, when I said that, they're like, what?
Yeah, they're like, I can't even comprehend.
There's different kinds.
They're like, we know that. We know that. And I'm like, shit.
Damn. Oh, no.
But anyway.
Miles, the Asian black thing. Love it. My brother was very much a Blasian.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's what he came out.
It's interesting. I mean, I totally, I identify so much with everything you write and like.
Oh, good, man.
It's such a, it's just so funny. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Every single, like, you start mixing races up, it's pretty much the same thing for everybody.
Yeah.
Once the second it happens. Because it's so, you come from well-defined, like, identities, and then you try and find your place in the middle. It's always very hectic until you just meet other Blasians.
But don't people say to you, too, like, I find, I get sometimes from the black community or the Asian community, they're kind of like, but, you know, it's so complicated. Like, you're so many things. And it's so complicated. And it's hard. And it did that. Like making it seem like it's this horrible burden.
Nah.
Whereas I have to say, like, I'm sorry, but I find it the coolest shit. Like, I can see and do and experience things like that. You know what I mean? I think it's a little bit of a superpower, Miles.
Oh, one. I don't have any grievances about it at all.
Good.
To your point, like, I can navigate fucking any fucking space. Like, I grew up in LA, so I know enough Spanish. I'm good with Spanish speakers.
All right.
I'm good with fucking Korean speakers. See? Just from osmosis, Armenians. Like, you grow up with a ton of different people and you hang out with them enough. You're like, oh shit, yeah, okay. Like, I see the overlap here and there, but yeah, I mean,
we are the shapeshifters, man, and they are scared of us because we are the future of this world.
And being bilingual and like your bilingual shit too fucks people up so bad. Like,
oh yeah.
I was just thinking about, you know, like how you're saying, like in your house, having Spanish band. I know so many people who are like other half Japanese kids whose American parent was like, we're not doing that. Cause that's I'm not about to have y'all fucking talking in code behind me, but behind my back, even though they're loving parents. But that like very odd, like specific insecurity is there of like, I love you. You're my wife and you are from this country, but don't start speaking your other language to this kid because that now I'm left out and I damn sure I'm not going to learn your
shit.
That
was part of it. That was part of it too, for sure.
Wow.
That was part of it. That dynamic too. And that dynamic of the white man, kind of the white savior thing. That also played out in my mother's second marriage. That like, big, hey, like, I'm going to take this dark native lady and I'm going to show her American, give her American life and fix her teeth and get her contacts and
the Pocahontas effect. So to
speak. Oh, yeah, it was so like that. Ugh.
It's so weird because like I grew up in a both Puerto Rican home, like both my parents are Puerto Rican, but my dad was so Americanized. My mom is from the island. My dad is from the States. And he was the one who was like, we're not doing that in our house because like I'm afraid of what people will think of you, my very Puerto Rican wife. And so like they spoke in Spanish as a code against us, but they wouldn't teach us Spanish because they did not, like my dad didn't want us walking the world speaking Spanish and being discriminated against. So it's like my dad only spoke it if he had to, like if my grandmother really needed to understand something because she didn't speak English. Or if he was like arguing with my mom about us, and or my mom would use it to bully us, which was really fucked up. And that's my own shit that I gotta do with therapy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she would speak Spanish in front of us to be like, I'm mad at you, but you can't tell I'm cussing you out because I'm speaking Spanish.
Well, that's how we learned all the swears, though. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Our own mothers. Point,
To the point, I thought carajo was my name.
But no, me literally. Too, right? Carajo, mira. So all I hear is my mother's voice every time. And then I would be like, oh, Spanish swears. And she'd be like, you don't know any. And I'm like,
I don't.
Coño, carajo. Like, oh. Everywhere.
Yeah. And I think also to your point, Becca, right? Like we're talking about the cycles that our parents would try and prevent, right? Like I'm sure your dad felt othered by speaking Spanish and knowing Spanish, that in his mind, his strategy as a parent was, I'm going to protect my child so they don't get bullied or othered by speaking Spanish. Meanwhile, taking away a vital connection to a culture through language, and you come out the other side being like, it really would have been dope if you actually taught me.
Yeah. Like, well, and I think about it when I was reading your book, Carmen, when you're talking about the food in the household, because my mom cooked certain, like my mom grew up as the cook in her family. Like she, my grandmother grew up in a single parent household. Like my great grandmother was a single parent in the, like in New York, in Washington Heights. And so my grandmother didn't learn how to cook. And so my mom, when she, my grandmother married a Puerto Rican man and moved back to Puerto Rico, she learned from all her tias to cook. So my mom was a cook for the whole family, cooked traditional Puerto Rican food. But then she married my dad and my dad didn't like to eat that food because he is so Americanized. And I mean, he likes certain dishes. We grew up with like certain Puerto Rican dishes, but I ate very Americana growing up, like burgers, meatloaf, roasted chicken, like
taco night.
Same hon. When you said when you said meatloaf, I cringed because that's
taco
my mother
night.
Learned how to cook, and I put that in quotes because the stuff was trash. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah. And my mom is an incredible cook, so the food was good, but it's just like I think about those meals and I'm like, wow, my mom really like, and not that Puerto Rican food is great for you by any means, but it's like my mom learned how to cook some like really American ass dishes for my dad, I feel like.
Right.
And he is still very picky eater this day. Like he's only now curving his diet a little bit because the doctor was like, you got to figure this out. Yeah, this is not working for you anymore. You can't be eating fast food all the time, whatever. But it is just so crazy the things that my mom, who grew up in a very ethnic household, kind of curved, even though my dad was also Puerto Rican because he was so afraid. Yeah. And it was a conversation a lot. My mom was like, no, like my kids are going to be bilingual. Like she was like, well, I grew up thinking my children would always become bilingual. But marrying your father, it was so interesting to be like, I see like, you're not going to have a relationship with your kids if they speak Spanish. And that's
well, we can,
up.
But we, that's up for us, right? That's for us to change and to choose to change and all of those things. Like I got my Spanish back pretty much and tried, but to raise my daughter with it, but thwarted a bit by the fact that I was the main breadwinner. So I wasn't the one who could, and the people that she was with in terms of daycare was, they were Georgian from Russia, like Georgians, you know.
Yeah,
and
from Georgia, right.
She ended up taking in school Mandarin.
Oh, wow.
Because she knew her kunkung. She knew her grandfather. And she really took to Mandarin. And she's does music, math, and Mandarin. It's like the same parts of her brain. And she's like in like Mandarin 6. And she's amazing. But she knows her Spanish. She knows the food. She knows. I've taken her to Santo Domingo. I've taken her to the DR many times. She knows all those parts of her. And though she struggles more with colorism.
Yeah.
Because my brother's kids are Black Hmongs.
Yeah.
Right.
Their mom's from Guyana, Black Guyanese. And my daughter turned out una blanquita. Blanca Blanca, like blue eyes and the whole thing, and kind of freakishly, she is the only white kid in the family. Mm-hmm. So she's dealing with it in a whole nother way. Right. And she says to me the other day, she says, you know what, mom, because we were talking politics, it's very depressing for her, of course, for all of us, but for the young kids, teenagers, it's really bad. And she was like, you know what, I'm just glad that I lived through the Obama years. She's like, because I got to see how it could be.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it was like, she broke my heart with that. But she did. It was a very different time. I mean, it wasn't. I'm not saying everything was, you know, copacetic.
It wasn't as like, it
the hate speech wasn't so outward. It wasn't so aggressive.
People
it
used to have shame about these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They used to be ashamed. But no longer.
No longer.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about a teenager who might be saving democracy. Some good news after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And good news, y'all. A 14-year-old in Ulster County, New York, may have saved the fucking country. And you say, how? Well, back in the summer, this kid's entry for a contest to pick the new design for the I Voted sticker in that county just blew up. And for those of us on this Zoom call, I don't know if you've seen it. It's like a multicolored head with a mechanical spider underneath. As JM describes, if Basquiat illustrated a children's book based on John Carpenter's The Thing.
And yes. I love The Thing with teeth and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
I voted and like the teeth are like rainbow colored. The eyes are bloodshot. And I guess reportedly the election commissioner who was like in charge of this contest was, quote, shocked when she first saw the entry and she thought it was a joke. Because she received it on 420. So she thought, it was like, okay, nice try, potheads. You think this is going to fucking go? But this is wild. The reason, okay, so this, it did get selected. And it's not because, like,
it wasn't just like ironic internet people being like, yeah, vote for shitty, like multicolored crab head sticker. There was like, they said everyone in this office at the county commissioner's office was, quote, evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. They all laughed at the design. So they put that forward with like six other or five other designs to the final six. And this kid, Hudson Rowan, he fucking smashed the competition. He got 94% of the vote.
Whoa, crazy.
You look at some of the other stickers, they are tired. They need to go to bed. Tired. It's past their bedtime. The one is like a fucking eagle.
I know.
Look, so this one was fire, man. I wanted to, the second I saw it, I wanted to go find a way to buy it. I was like, I want one of those stickers.
It's so wild. It like, it feels like something that's like, man, this is straight chaos, absurd. But
yeah.
I don't know why. I look at it and I'm like, man, there's something true about this sticker, about this weird disembodied crab head that's like in a panic, being like, I voted.
Or I see him as being like, I voted, motherfucker. Oh, that's the way I see him. That's how I see him.
Oh, it's like, yeah, maybe one of me doesn't scare you, but when millions of us get together.
Oh, yes, exactly.
But yeah, it's just like, it's just kind of a really beautiful, like, kind of moment. And like, the kid wasn't even trying to be like, oh, let me shit on this competition by putting forward this like image. Apparently, like, his mom was just like, hey, there's a contest. And he saw what people were doing, like American flag shit and like Uncle Sam type red, white and blue nonsense. And so he just said he decided to just doodle something that was more personal and reminiscent of something he would have drew when he was younger.
Oh,
and
my.
He just said he hopes it will inspire many people to vote. Well, guess what, motherfucker? It looks like you have. It's being used in early voting. And the Ulster County Commissioner, they were like looking at everything. They said, man, the one of the workers said the sticker has become, quote, highly coveted and has driven up turnout and excitement. See? And one of the people who was like running the elections there said, it's definitely gotten more people out for the first day. I've never seen this many people for a midterm. Now, I'm not going to say it's solely the sticker. There are some important issues up for debate. I do think there is something to it, because if you look back at the history of like the I voted sticker, it happened in like the back end of the 20th century as a way to get to like make voting this thing that felt more like a social gathering.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like we've seen with the sticker we have, it's clear, like research shows that like stickers actually have an impact on some level on voter turnout, because a lot of people may vote not because they're like, oh shit, like this is my civic duty, but also because they're like, why everybody else getting a sticker? Like,
oh, social pressure, man. You know, I post like tomorrow, I'm voting early tomorrow, and you know I'm going to post, you know, the picture with the sticker.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think everyone does. Like, I always do it too.
You should. And
Social
pressure. And
100%. 100%. Yeah. But it warms my heart to see that, like, they truly are just like looking at this and like, damn, you know, a lot of people like this absurd crab head. So shout out to
the children
young man.
Are our future.
Yes. Teach them well and they will make stickers.
They look like little crab heads.
Shout out crab heads. Shout out Rowan. And yes, please fucking vote. Well, Carmen, Rita Wong, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist.
It
was an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Where can people find you and follow you and read you and all that?
Yes. Go to Carmen Rita Wong on Instagram, and also website is carmenritawong.com. Go order the book, spread the word, let me know what you think. I love getting people's feedback, reviews, talk to me through the website, DMs, whatever. I just love it. And it's something for everyone, as you said, Miles. Something for everyone.
Will resonate.
American story. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no. It's always
love being
a
on this very like American kind of scary to the other side show. Because we just look at us like we are just, oh, we are it, man.
And if only they knew, we're not being like, how do we throw them all in jail? No, we're out here being like, man, everybody needs some shit.
Yeah.
And that's really the truth of it.
Frankly.
Yeah. Like, let's be real. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't admit that you're getting fucked over. Okay.
Yeah.
But maybe your ego will subside for a moment and you can allow yourself to be vulnerable, because I think that's the other huge part about being American. There's vulnerability is like not a real thing.
No.
And
oh yeah, no.
Like,
No.
Allowing yourself to struggle in public is the worst absolute optics.
You're talking to someone who has a memoir out, Miles.
Yeah. Like,
let's just say seriously. I'm not 20 years old. Like, it takes, you gotta grow some cojones, you know?
For real. Is there a tweet or some other social media post that you've been liking, Carmen?
Oh, isn't Twitter an interesting place? Yeah, I'm at Carmen Sense, S-E-N-S-E, but I have held back on posting on Twitter because I am concerned about what's going on. But at the same time, it is so much my place because I follow great, great reporters. I follow great news outlets and I follow long COVID research and COVID stuff. And it's just been... it's been a wealth of information for me. So I'm going to be a little quiet there for a little bit to see what's happening, see what rolls
out. We'll let Elon destroy himself, you know?
Yeah, you
just,
know.
Just go ahead and destroy yourself, my man.
No, you I'm not going to destroy myself. I did download my archives.
Yeah, yeah.
Elon must destroy himself.
Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah. You mean the child at the controls?
Yeah. Mr. Emerald? The boy with emeralds in his pockets?
Child at the controls. Yeah. But yes, but I downloaded my archive. I suggest everybody do the same.
Hmm? Yeah. See, don't get do what archives. I did. I lost all my Vine videos, man. Oh.
Are you serious?
I had some wild ass vines.
Dude, come on.
I know.
I miss Vine. It is what it is. Low key.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
No, Vine was fun. Unfortunately, I like TikTok. I'm there, but I'm a ghost. I just watch. I don't post.
I think many of us are. Same.
Yeah. It's too much great creativity, man. Too much great creativity.
Yeah, and it's good that the algorithm hasn't taken you into like pseudoscience TikTok because like it's... I started getting stuff like that and I'm like, no, I do not like this. Don't show me that.
Decline.
I know how to like swipe through real fast when that sort of stuff comes up.
Like, I ate popcorn for 30 days. Here are the results. And you're like, I'm sorry, no. What? You ate popcorn for 30 days?
Drink some water. You probably barked.
No, none of that stuff. No, nope.
Becca, thank you so much also for helping me co-host today. You're the greatest. Where can people find you and follow you? And if there's a tweet or TikTok that you're fucking with?
I have a couple tweets, but you can find me and follow me at Bex, B-E-C-C-S Ramos on all platforms. I am a ghost on TikTok and I'm very active on Instagram. I'm also kind of a ghost on Twitter, but... I did find two tweets, one from Jamaica 2011, J-A-M-E-C-A 2011. My mama swore up and down she wasn't my little friend. Now look at her, my little friend. And that made me laugh so hard. Someone whose mother also told her she was not her little friend. And then the second one I have.
Tweets. Oh, okay. Go. I got one. Go ahead, Becca.
Okay.
And then the second one I have is from Sephi Goth. S-E-P-H-I-R-G-O-T-H. Keep me in your thoughts today. Okay. I have to go to work, even though I'm so sleepy and beautiful and fun to be around.
Wait. I got one because I screenshotted this yesterday. At Mr. Jemadari, M-R-J-E-M-E-D-A-R. Glad to see so many embracing therapy. A few of you need an exorcism as well, but baby steps. Baby steps. Love it.
Shit. Let's see some tweets I like. First one is from Harry Weinreb, W-E-I-N-R-E-B, tweeted, "Today marks 4 years since I cut poisonous berries out of my diet. I feel amazing. I have so much more energy and no more daily trips to the ER. I can't recommend it enough." You always see tweets like that. I stopped this and I've been, but yeah, please stop eating those poisonous berries. Let's see. Matt Farr at Philosophar, F-A-R-R, tweeted, "Overheard a university student say, 'Arctic Monkeys were my dad's favorite band when I was little.'"
I almost said this one.
Oh, I saw that one.
"The passage of time is relentless, unfathomable, cruel, and unforgiving." And then Sydney Battle at Sydney Battle with Y's, S-Y-D-N-E-Y, tweeted, "Huge drama on my block right now. Basically, my crows got tired of the local squirrels always taking some of the food I leave out. So now, as an act of retaliation, the crows are going yard to yard, finding the squirrels' stashes and eating everything. Squirrels are watching in horror." A little bit of drama on that block.
I like her. Squirrels I like her crows. Real. Sydney on TikTok. She's great.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, you can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find Jack and I on another podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, an official NBA podcast, and also my other trash reality TV podcast,
420 Day Fiancé that I do with Sophie Alexandra. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnote.
Becca, thank you. Thank you. Left me hanging there for a second. Where you can also check out the song we're going to ride out on today. We're going to go out on this track by Immy Owusu, Immyowusu. The track is called Brown Supremacy. This guy is a really interesting artist. He is half Ghanaian and half Australian. And like his music, you know, because we're talking about, you know, racial identity today, I felt this is a really interesting track. Mm. And he's a really interesting artist. He's like, you know, he's was growing up in Australia, but grew like also listened to West African like and Ghanaian high life music, and has been on this like musical, personal, artistic journey. And, you know, even went to Africa to like study with his grandfather to learn more about like high life music, came back, and now he's got this track. And it just it feels like so fucking worldly. Like it has so many dimensions of music, whether it's like rock and roll or African percussion and things like that. It all comes together for a really wonderful sound. So this is Brown Supremacy by Immy Owusu. Wait, that's right. After that, I'm supposed to wrap the show out. So check us out there. Also, for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows. We'll be back later today to tell you what's trending. Until then, take care of yourself. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.